Praise God. So, part three, Great Grace. Great Grace, part three. You know, this last month, we began this series, and it's called Great Grace, speaking about the outrageous, the extravagant, the incredible favor of God. That's what grace is. It's not something small. It's not something that's got a bit of grace. It's not just kind of make do. But great grace. And, you know, we have some key scriptures in Psalm 133. Because God commands his favor or commands the blessing where there's unity. So, no surprise, God started this year speaking about unity in our church. Then he's beginning to lay the foundation. Now, this unity releases something. Great grace. And we saw that in Psalm 133. And then we went on to Acts 4:32, and we saw that the believers were to all together in one place, one heart, one mind, and great grace was upon them all. That's what we see with the Holy Spirit being poured out. It speaks of this unity. It speaks. So you understand, if you don't come to church with the rest of the believers, you're not going to have that great grace upon you. You can't receive the extra measures of grace that God wants to pour out. Grace is good. The great grace. Now, I want that, don't you? I want all that God's got for me, not just some of what God's got for me. I want to be a receiver of the fullness of what God wants to give me. I'm saved. But I want to live in the good of my salvation, not just be surviving. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not like, hang on a minute, I'm not teaching some heresy of different levels of Christianity here. No, I'm talking about, come on, live in the best. Live in all that Jesus has given you, not just some of it. And so we saw in week one how unity releases that grace, and actually that grace then imparts God's abilities. And that grace then changes our thinking, especially about God, but then also about ourselves. So just reminding us of these things. And then last week, we saw how grace actually positions us. It positions us for success. You know, anything that God asks you to do, in the natural we can't do, but in the supernatural we are well able to do. You see, that was the problem with Israel. They went to the promised land, and God set them up with this fabulous land. They took one look in the natural, and they saw all the enemies, and they retreated. When God was saying, I am with you, that's enough. So a whole generation missed out. A whole generation missed out. Let's not be a generation that misses out on God's call. Great grace. You know, and we were at the cathedral, Audacious, on Thursday night, praying for the city. And just reminding ourselves as we were standing there of the things that God has spoken. When we prayed for gun crime to change, the gun crime figures went down. It stopped being called Gunchester and became known as something else. So we prayed for something else on Thursday. We prayed a number of different things, but one of the things we prayed about was the knife crime. So something's going to change. You realize that your prayer is effective. You see, this is what we understand. You see, grace doesn't just train us for success. It sets us up making all things new. Things that you've heard about, things you've known about, suddenly become fresh again. And not only fresh, but it means that our thinking begins to change to realize this is possible.
Yes. Yeah.
It's possible. It trains us for success. It changes our thinking, and it teaches us to speak differently. Now, that's all in the last two. And Pastor Tony was talking about some of this as well, and I thought, oh, I might have to change and adjust my sermon a bit, because he started touching on these things. Because we were talking about how much I was enjoying his book, Grace, the DNA of God. It's in the bookshop. If you want to get into this message a bit further, dig a bit more, then it's definitely worth buying. I get to teach this more fully. I get 12 classes to teach in India. So I get to really unpack this, not just give you some snippets to work with. But grace makes me active. That's interesting. I, as well as thinking about how do I talk about grace, well, there are some things that people say that are just not right, okay? So people say that grace is not performance-based, half-truth. So that does not matter, or God doesn't care how I then live. False. See, a half-truth usually leads to a full lie. God's love and acceptance are not work-based, so I'm free to do as I please. Again, half-truth followed by a complete lie. That's how the devil works. You see, that's what we see in the garden. The devil said, God didn't really say, after he said, did God say? And he asked, did God say, and he gave an adjusted truth statement. Did God say you can't eat from anything in the garden? Eve corrected that. See, we often correct what we know's wrong, but then we don't actually tackle the next bit, which is the complete lie. You can eat anything. You are going to change. You're going to be like God. And God's love, you know, this is the thing, that God's love and acceptance are not works-based, so I'm free to do as I please, is a lie. It's a lie. People often talk about this, about God's unconditional love. God's love is completely conditional. It's actually not true to say it's unconditional. It has one condition in Christ. There's only one way. He loves you, but you can't receive that love. There is one condition. So it's wrong to say some of these things that people quote. His love is complete. His love is unlimited. His love is completely for you, but it's not totally unconditional. It has one condition, that you come by faith to Christ. That's the only condition. That's the only condition. You know, when people quote it's unconditional, just ask them, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? You see, God wants all to be saved, but not all will be saved. His desire, his plan is for everybody, but he understands not all will. And so, another lie, God sees me in Christ, so my behavior has no consequence. I'm in Christ. Christ has done it all. I'm okay. God has already forgiven me, so sin doesn't matter anymore. Well, he has forgiven you, but he only will forgive you if you repent. There's a condition to keeping in the plans of God. And we want to just, you know, really talk about this. You see, grace is the power of God for us to live out the life of God here on the earth. It's the power of God that enables us to stand and make it through life victorious. Grace is an empowerer, not a cover-up. That's so important for us to really catch hold of this afresh today. Because as we were hearing, God's got works for us to do. I thought it was great that Pastor Tony spoke about this over the weekend. How many of you were here over the weekend? Oh, really? So there's a lot of people missed out. Don't forget, there's podcasts. They are for the church free, I believe. At least Sunday is. The podcasts for the conference aren't. That's just get that right. But they're there. They are worth investing. £10, I think it is, for the conference. What are you going to actually do this week? Are you going to walk in victory, or are you going to walk struggling? You see, grace is active. Grace wants to activate me. You know, if I can have my card. You know, the new credit card comes through, and it has this sticker on it. It says, ring this number. That credit card might have all the facilities, or your debit card. You know, I'm not talking about cards, bank cards. I'm not talking about getting into debt here. But you have to ring to activate the card. It has all the potential for use. It physically works in the machine, provided you do one thing and you activate it. You need a PIN number, and you need the activation call. Without that activation number, it doesn't matter how many times you put the PIN in, it won't work. They'll go, fraud will stop it. Anyone ever had your card stopped by fraud? You know, it's got nothing to do with me. How frustrating is that? Because all you did is you failed to authorize it. You know, we had two cards. I had the renewal card for my bank card in my wallet, and I knew it was not yet, because they often send it ahead of time. And it was there, so I didn't bother activating it. I forgot. Something simple. And then you go and use it, because the one card's run out, and you go to use the new card, and oops, it won't work. I know how to use it. I know what the PIN is, but nothing's happening. You see, that's what it means to be in Christ is the essential for all of our faith to actually work. Otherwise, it's faith in ourselves. It's faith in our prayer. It's faith in our knowledge of the Scriptures instead of faith in Christ. Faith in Christ alone is the activating code. It's getting at things working. You see, Romans 5 and Romans 6 teach me that with grace there's no loopholes. You can't fool God. There's no loopholes, no escape clauses. You see, in Romans 5, verse 21, it says that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace rules in righteousness. So, I can't just go on living the same old way. Death was ruling in me because of sin. My unbelief. And I'm not just talking about the things that I did that proved I didn't believe God. But that's the challenge of John 16. It says, he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they have not believed in the one he sent. It's such a key for us. Sin in the one because they have not believed. That's the biggest challenge. Because we don't believe, we'll do all kinds of sins. Do you see the distinction? Am I going too deep here? To me, this is nice and simple. If I can get the believing bit right in Jesus, then the rest of it becomes possible. Yeah? Grace. God's got an activation code. Christ. You can't have the second parts or the rest of it, the bank account access. You know, there's £1 billion there. It's not kind of some measly amount. So that bank card really is worth having. Your bank card is your mouth. You do realize this, don't you? That's what I said 2 weeks ago. Your mouth. And that's the problem. So often, God has to restrict the access because it's going to cause problems. If we use that too much of that money for the wrong purposes, we'll kill ourselves and others. He doesn't want to. He does not want to limit your access. Do you hear that? You know? As our children were growing up, we gave them pocket money as we were able and as they were able to use. We didn't give a 10-year-old £100 very often. We would usually oversee the use of that kind of a gift to make sure as parents that it got used for the right things. Sweets, for £100 worth of sweets, would not have been a good idea, would it? We would have been spending a lot more money at the dentist. Come on, let's just work with me a little bit here. You know, as we activate things, you know, sometimes we think control is wrong when God is speaking something of significance to us. He wants us to use these things right, the finances he gives us. So what does it say? Just as sin reigned in death, so grace reigns in righteousness. Grace reigns. So you cannot have the grace without the righteousness. He is the breastplate of righteousness. He is my righteousness. I'm not trying to get righteous. He is my righteousness. But now I maintain my righteousness. I maintain that armor. I maintain my stand. And see, that's what it says in Romans 6, in verses 11 and 13. It says, so count yourself, or consider yourself dead to sin. You know, this, for me, when I first got saved, this came so clearly to me because I smoked. I used to smoke 50 a day. I loved smoking. I thought it was great. And God then started speaking. You know, when God speaks, you suddenly realize that it's sin. What you thought you enjoyed, suddenly you realize is being destructive and harmful. And actually, there is a reason when he says, don't do those things. But you need kind of God to speak for you to kind of not accept it as being, you're trying to tell me what to do again, are you? You see, that's what happens when people are smoking. You're trying to tell me. They know it's going to harm them. They just want to find an excuse. God began to heal people when I prayed, and I started to find that quite exciting. Do you find, who's prayed for someone and seen them healed? Come on, the rest of you. God wants you to try it. And then they actually recognize that you can do it because he does it, actually, yeah, not you. But he then said, I want to use you. Now this area needs a cleanup job. You're in faith, but this is affecting. This is, like I said last week or the week before, this is turning the volume of your faith down. So for me, and most of us, we kind of know it, smoking is a restrictor of my faith because I'm damaging the very temple of the Holy Spirit. So he wouldn't actually go and start throwing things at the equipment up here, would you? You wouldn't throw a brick through the window. You try not to. You get a little bit cross if the kids did it. So why then throw a brick through your lungs? God spoke to me a word of activation. He's activated my faith. If you do this, there's going to be more grace released. You've seen some healing. Do you want to see some more? This area needs to go. Do you see how it's not law, but grace? When God does it that way, you start to see it working. It stops being law. If I'd never seen it happen, then it would have felt like law. Thou shalt not smoke. It's not how he said it to me. He was like, come on, don't let your faith be short-circuited. You know, a power tool that doesn't quite work right. That's what it was like. So, wrecked the cigarettes. That was it. No more smoking. It was so easy. It was so easy. See, things with God are easy if you will let him actually help you. Okay, so I'm talking about grace, you see. This is, grace enables you. Most people go, oh, you're going to get withdrawal symptoms, you're going to have problems. This is what Jackie Pullinger taught us years and years ago. If you want to come off of heroin without withdrawal symptoms, pray in tongues. Everybody that did it had no withdrawal symptoms in their rehab. Everyone that refused to do it went through cold turkey like everybody normally does. But you see, we're like, no one's telling me what to do. It's like, no. I'm giving you the power to not have a problem. You see, we get so focused on, you've got to do this, that we miss the power of God that is actually plugged into us, and all we have to do is press the on switch. So that's all God wants. Just press the on switch. Use your obedience. Use your voice. The grace of God matters to us. So God does care how I live. Grace, 2 Peter 3, teaches me to look forward to a new heaven and a new earth. It teaches me. See, grace actually teaches me that what I can see around me is not the best. It's not the all. When I see someone else with masses of wealth, I know, you haven't seen anything yet. There's a new heaven and there's a new earth. And it's so amazing that even the roads have got gold on them. And the pearl for the main gate is so big that I have just no idea what the oyster looked like. You just start to see something. See, grace, the Holy Spirit wants to show you the future. And the future is not bound by what you can see right now. Your future is bigger than you have any idea if you will allow God to show you. You know, that's youth. I've now been more places than I ever considered going in my life just because I dared to believe God. Abby and Bex, there have been places that I'm like, wow, you've been in more places than me now. Do you want to travel the world? Go on an adventure with Jesus. And guess what? You may find some people actually investing in you and enabling you. So when you do things with God, actually, he helps pay you to get there. You know? It's interesting, isn't it, how God works with these things? You see, the grace of God teaches me to look forward, it says in there. And it says, it then teaches me to make every effort to be found spotless. It's not just that I'm looking forward, but because I'm looking forward, I line my life up to get there. You see, when I don't know where I'm going, I go and have a look over here, and I go and have a look over that place. Is this worth trying? Is that worth trying? Oh, I'm not sure. But you see, if I know that my destiny is heaven, see, for me, I was called to be a pastor, to be a minister and a witness. So I got the opportunity 30-something years ago to come to Manchester. And it was interesting being in the Castleton, Rochdale area, whereas I had prayed and walked all those 35 years ago, something like that, 35 years ago. Couldn't recognize half of it, but that doesn't matter. I know that God took me there as this 20-year-old kid who has just seen God do some things, and he ministered miracles through me, despite me. I didn't know a lot, but God still did the miracles. And here I was, 30-odd-something years, going back to the same area because God loves to give you an advanced view and then take you there. See, God didn't just give me some kind of glimpse of the future and then go, I'm not letting you get there. He didn't take Israel to the promised land and just go, just have a look over there. It's a land dripping with milk and honey. You can't have it. I'm just kidding. I'm just playing around with you, just manipulating you. Just let's go back to Egypt. You know, God took Israel to the promised land to take them in. But Israel had a problem with what they believed. The problem wasn't God. The problem was themselves. And when we fail to actually line up with the call of God, there isn't the grace of God. Let me repeat that. When we fail to line up with the call of God, there isn't the grace of God. You cannot let work control and lead your life. Yeah. It will take you to towns and places that are not where God wants you. Lot and Abraham walked the same land, and Lot looked with his natural eyes, Abraham looked with his spiritual eyes. Yeah. They saw a land that God said, I'm giving, but Lot, we read about this in Genesis 14, 15 somewhere, got himself in a problem and he had to be rescued. But he got himself rescued, losing all of his goods, everything he'd worked for his whole life, even losing his wife. The problems were because although he was blessed, he wasn't in the place of blessing. You see, the favor of God needs us to line up with the call of God. The call of God. God wants us. He's freed me to do what he wants. That's the power of God. How do you know where you're supposed to be? What's the church you're a part of is a big part of that. Look for the jobs in the church. And when God says it's time to move church, that's when it's time to look for the new things. And he doesn't often say move church, by the way. Not as often as people tell me, that's for sure. You see, many people get upset and they look for a new church rather than actually working through whatever the issues are. Can I just say, grace, this is kind of extra point, grace will help you to deal with awkward people. See, if you know where you're going, then you will deal with the, I think Pastor Tony calls it the Grinches. The grouches. You know, there's people that rub you up the wrong way. But when you know you're heading in the right direction, you won't let someone else's problems so affect you as to divert you in a different direction. Oh, that's good. They may have, you'll have to tackle them. That's what unforgiveness is. That's what dealing with forgiveness is. That allows you to go around the problem and hopefully tackle the problem at the same time. You know, you tackle your heart. You have to let them tackle their heart. But as for my heart, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I'm going to walk in the grace. And it's interesting, you know, we've been reading the Bible reading on Thursday, I think it was, or Friday. And it says, you know, Paul was talking to the Corinthians church, and he said about people going to court, taking one another to court. And he said, you know, for the sake of the name, you put the name of Jesus under because you'd rather go to ungodly people to solve disputes. Paul said, I'd rather be hurt. I'd rather be abused than go to court. I thought, oh, yeah. I wonder how much I think like that. You can ask that one yourself. Grace teaches me to actually be eager to do God's will. Titus 2, verses 11 to 14, it says, it teaches me to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and then to live a self-controlled, godly, upright life. Yeah. You know, this is interesting, isn't it? You know, There's many people struggling with an upright life. I have chosen with Claire that we will not use any money that the church is, maybe someone gives in the offering, if we don't talk to someone first. You know, sometimes people give gifts. Is it for us? Is it for the church? If there's even the slightest question mark, it goes into the church, not us. I would rather miss out than to use wrong. It's too important. The integrity. How many pastors have fallen because they've used the money wrong? It doesn't just affect the pastor, but then people's lives, families, they're just like, oh, why follow Jesus? None of these leaders work. None of everything he said was rubbish. Hey, let's just forget this. Let's get a job and earn some extra money. And they stop coming on Sundays. They stop lining their lives up. You see, for Claire and me, we have lined our lives up with the call, and then we have set the parameters to protect us to walk in that godly way. Do you know what? God gives us gifts. It's quite exciting. When was the last time you received a gift? I mean, a financial gift. Who's received a financial gift this year? Oh, not many. Oh, come on. Put your hand up a bit higher. Have you received a gift, a financial breakthrough gift this year that helped at one stage? Okay. So the rest of you, have you been sowing? Have you set yourself up for the miracle? You see, Claire and I, when we were in major, major debt, we made sure that our finances were in line to first, before we gave any money to any debt, before we paid for our house, before we paid for anything, we tithed, and then we gave gifts. We knew that we needed some miracles. So I think at the time we were like £4,000 or £5,000 in debt, we started giving £45 a month. Just what we felt. Doesn't matter. You work out what you feel. We started sowing that into a ministry that helped people with debt. Because we needed more than £45. We needed like £450 every month. Now, at that time, we had no money. So it actually left us with a total of £50 for the entire month, food and petrol for our family of five. Every month, we managed to pay the bills. Every month, we paid the debts off a little bit more. I don't know how we did it. All I can tell you is, eventually, money, gifts started to come in. You see, if you will live an upright, godly life, believing God, not your own resources, you see, I'm looking at heaven. I'm lining up with where I'm going. We did this because we knew we needed to get ourselves out of debt so that the church would get out of debt. And years later, we got ourselves back into debt. Just being real honest here, the whole church has got itself into debt. And we, Claire and me, have been steadily working our way out of debt. We know, excluding some major gifts, which we know we're believing for those as well, we know end of next year, we will be debt-free. Now, I'm believing for some bigger debt-free than that. That'll be faster than that. But we've lined ourselves up with the call of God, with the plan of God, for our entire future. What are you doing? What are you believing for? We're sowing. Claire and I were the first to give into CAP, setting up the new CAP center. Because we know we need to give. We need to release these things. I'm just being real honest here so that you guys don't think, you know, I just preach that stuff. We have the choice every month. Yeah, that tithe money would be kind of nice to put to that. Or to go on holiday, or to do this. And actually, God needs to be honored first. We've lined our life up. But I can tell you, we've cleared more debt in the last couple of years. And as a church, we have done the same. You know, we don't We don't misuse the tithes of the church. The church has given more than at any other time. I mean, that's why I'm so excited about where the church is going. Are you excited about where you're going? You see, this is what it says. My God's grace shows me my life matters. See, this is the thing. It teaches me to say no to ungodliness and shows me instead to live a self-controlled, upright life because my life matters. See, my life matters is what we need to hear. Does your life matter? Well, it should at least matter to you, doesn't it? Does it matter to you? I know Claire's life matters to me. You know, Alistair's dad just promoted to glory. Andy Pell just promoted to glory. Did they leave a legacy? Did they leave something that mattered? Or has life just gone past? Yeah, come on. See, in Philippians 2, grace teaches me obedience brings promotion. Grace teaches me grace. Obedience brings promotion. Let's just read it together. Philippians 2. Because what it says here, it's kind of interesting. Because I think we kind of think it's, yeah, just do what you want. Well, the grace of God helps these things. Philippians 2, verse 12. My friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, you know, Claire and I are getting ready to go on sabbatical for 2 months. This church is going to grow more in that 2 months than it has in the last 2 months. There's going to be great grace. There has been times when it hasn't. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't sound very right. For, you see, there's a reason. There's a reason to work it out. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to his good purpose. There's a reason. There's a reason to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. God wants to work his good purpose out. He's determined to, and he wants to grace you to. He wants to grace you. He wants you to stop being defeated. You see, that's what it says. He always leads us in triumphant procession. It's just we're always falling off the end. We're always turning to the other ways. We're always, he's saying, this is the way we're going. If you just keep following me, you will get through. And not just get through, be promoted, enjoy life, be successful. All the other things I've been preaching over the last couple of weeks, all the promises in the Bible, they're yours by faith, not of your own works, but the gift of God, who then gives you works to do. That's a paraphrasing Ephesians 2. Who set you up for success. See, grace makes me someone. Grace makes me someone. It makes you someone. That's next week. Let's just respond to God this morning. Maybe there's some things in your life that you know. They're just not lining. The call of God is maybe not quite what you're lining life up with. Maybe that's your attendance in church. Something as simple that, you know, there's graces you need to be here in order to receive. Okay? Maybe it's about how your work's lining up versus your prayer life versus your commitment to church, life groups. There's all kinds of ways you can be involved in, you can be affected, that your life doesn't quite line up. Unforgiveness, we just talked about that again. Maybe the grinches and gripes that you've got to deal with. They all seek to undermine your confidence. But God's promise is you are blessed. I want the bank card unlimited. Yeah. Not just the platinum, but is it the black one that are the really top-notch ones, aren't they? They're the awesome ones that have no limits. My platinum card has got a limit on it, but I think the special black cards, black credit cards that have no limit. There was a film that I saw years ago, Pretty Woman. Bit dodgy in places. But when she went shopping, does anyone remember this film? Yeah. So you watched it too. Don't judge me. When she went shopping, first time she went shopping, she had a fistful of cash. They wouldn't even look after her. Second time, the man took her shopping and he just went, "We want some suck up. We want some real favor here." And he just flashed his card. See, God wants you to know the unlimited supply, the lavish grace. It's not a limited credit card. It's an unlimited debit card. You couldn't even use the interest that God's giving. If you dared to believe. Now, next week, we're going to look at what is that then? What do we do with that? See, unlimited grace brings great responsibility. Or is it unlimited power? That's Spider-Man, isn't it? With great power comes great responsibility. The Bible says the same. Where do we think got those kind of quotes from for the films?